Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum, and welcome to the Legal Eagle Show with myself, Brother Suleiman Yusuf, every Friday evenings between 8 and 9 p.m. Today being the 5th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1447, corresponding to Friday the 26th of September 2025. It's gone 7 minutes past 8 Central African time. As you are well aware, and if you are living in the Johannesburg region, or if you have been following the news recently, that the DA, one of the DA candidates, has put forward to run for mayor of Johannesburg, and some comments that have been made, which sparked very controversial comments that were made from this particular candidate. And to help us unpack this is none other than our very own attorney, Zahir Umar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan. Attorney Sam, the DA leader, Helen Zille, says with regards to the atrocities and genocide that has been happening in Gaza, and she says that she does not know anything about it. Attorney Saab's view.
South Africa, while the publicity was given to Helen Zille, the former leader of the DA's interview, Helen Zille was asked if there was a genocide taking place in Palestine. She answered she does not know. Now that, with respect, that answer was an insult to the country, to the Muslims, and to the civilized world. Because earlier this week, Morana, Judge Navi Pillay from the United Nations was interviewed. Judge Navi Pillay confirmed the view and the findings of the United Nations. It is unequivocal, it is clear that there is indeed genocide being inflicted upon the people of Palestine by the Zionist Jews. Now, what about for Zille, being a leader in South Africa, to deny a genocide? I'm saying it's an insult to the people of South Africa, the South African government, because South Africa was the first country who took this issue to the International Court of Justice. The issue about whether the Zionists are inflicting a genocide upon our Palestinian people. For her to deny it, she has extricated herself from being a leader. She has extricated herself from being a representative of the people of any part of South Africa. But particularly in Johannesburg, she wants to be a mayor. She claims, she says, that because the DA are running the councils, which they managing with much far better than the ANC, she claims that the DA should in fact run the affairs of Johannesburg. But without expressing it in so many words, what Zille is saying is we must go back to the time of white rule. Now, what is very disturbing is our President Ramaphosa and Minister of Mineral Affairs, Matashe, having echoed support for the utterances made by Helen Zille. Morana, in the 70s, Malik Mada built a school in Silverbank. We had a farm in a place called Silverbank, Nikhrenistat, on the way to stand at the men. It's called Odoch, the other name is Nikhrenistat. When the ANC took over, the school was demolished. The reason Malik Mada built the school was because Silverbank was, those years, 12 miles, about 30 kilometers away from Nikhrenistat, small town. The little African kids had no school to go to, no transport to take them to the school. The education they were given in any place was an education that was designed to keep the African people in a servile state, to keep them, to equip them to be able to serve and work for the whites. We paid them patents. Now, what about before the new South Africa came into effect, the whites raped the finances of the country? Even up to today, brother, the education being dispensed by government to the in the government schools, which are now multiracial, is substandard. How many of our children, brother, go to government schools? Very few. I'm here, Argent is our farm. My kids walk up the street, you know? From South here, right, until the trick. All my children were now all lawyers, all lawyers, right? All the sons, the youngest sons, they all went to Spring Muslim School, private school. Now, more than that, to make an attempt to say that DA controlled municipalities are more effective and run more smoothly, this is again a veiled racist remark. I say so for the following reason. More than that, in 30 years that we are in the new South Africa, with a small budget, in this year we could not, government could not even meet this budget. How are we going to train and equip and educate African people with the skills of running a government? I mean, strategy, how? It is understandable. What should in fact happen is that the whites who continue to receive the benefit of wealth should be employed by the Africans, and the skills of the white men should be used to run the municipalities. It does not mean now the white men must lead us, no. It's terrible to be a mayor of Johannesburg. And for Ramaphosa to support that remark is an indication of a person losing knowledge of his roots. More or less, this is what wealth does. You know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us to live humble lives. My late brother Muhammad Hussein, may Allah give him jannah, he also always told me, live humble life. When you live humble life, you don't forget where you come from. Now, it is very important, Mona, to know where you come from. I will elaborate so much, but Ramaphosa forgets his roots. Mantashe forgets his roots. When you forget your roots, you talk rubbish with respect. And Ramaphosa, yeah, of course, that's really the right. The white people can manage the spirit better. He is when he makes such utterance. He makes millions of African people remain inferior. He is the president of the country. How can you talk like this? Luckily, we Muslims, you know. Yeah, I can't even feel it for Zilla or for Zilla's mother to him. I'm a lawyer, alhamdulillah, and my kids are all lawyers and fast, you know. I studied at UCT. I was there with all the little Jewish creeps. I performed my bidding in them. But the utterance made by Ramaphosa to instill inferiority in our children, especially African children, African people, that's very disturbing on that. We should not forget this. I want all listeners to talk about this, to teach others that what Zeller spoke about, what our President Ramaphosa spoke about, is with respect, I'm saying rubbish. Anyone wants to challenge me, I'm open. TV, radio, anyway. In summary, I'm going to say, very simple. In a short period of 30 years, with a very limited budget, in 2025, our government could not even meet its budget. What does the budget mean? Budget means the following. One of the government, we pay taxes to government. Like in exchange, government will provide free education, free housing, free health, etc. This year, the government couldn't meet its budget, which means inevitably that the education that's going to be dispensed will be cheaper than education. And mostly the majority of people who submit to it, government education is African people. Now that is why African people will not be as skilled and equipped as the white people are. But this is directly linked to apartheid. For Zilla to talk rubbish and talk nonsense, and for Ramaphosa and Mantashe to echo such crap, is with respect misplaced and wrong. And Zilla is an evil woman, she's shaitan. For the whole world, well, the whole world, not the United Nations, Mona, has now confirmed unequivocally that a genocide is being inflicted on the people of Palestine, our people. For her to deny it, Mona, is so insightful that I, with respect, I could kill her. If I could bring our respect, I'll respect that very hard, Mona. One like us, I'm saying this on air. I'm telling you, Zilla, if I see you in town, one day I saw in Devon, and it's okay, you approach me. Say, why am I so supportive of President Zuma, you know? But yeah, I won't. One like us, if I see her, if I meet her, I'll smack her so bloody hard, Wallah. for the Imam Jaja very inside for the Imam Mona. Now Victoria Judge was interviewed in this week. She confirmed unequivocally that genocide is taking place in Palestine. But alhamdulillah, the Houthis in this week, they smashed them up, yes. And many of the little Yahud Zionists were killed. The 100% Mona. It's not, we're not getting so much news, they conceal the news. But the Houthis are again in hiding. Allah was with us.
Now tell me something, you're speaking of that these people or these democratic leaders need to remember where they came from. If you remember carefully the Sharpeville massacre where Hector Peterson was shot and murdered in cold blood. And they forget about even when you mentioned about William Antashe and Ramaphosa where they came from.
Also Ahmed Timur, Mullah.
Ahmed Timur.
How many of our leaders, Mullah, were tortured and killed? Ahmed Timur, Khani, many, Mullah. For Ramaphosa to talk such rubbish is very disturbing. Mustache too, nah? You see, Mullah, Ramaphosa, let me tell the listeners something about Ramaphosa. President Ramaphosa is a very intelligent man. Very, very intelligent. Very skillful too. Alright. He worked for the mines. Then Morana and Fish for special time between 1994 and 1997, 1998, 1999. He became a billionaire. His brother in law put that. But then what we learned more about Ramaphosa was with the Marikana event. Ramaphosa gave instructions to shoot to kill. They killed more than 37 miners, Morana. One of these people, the miners, were protesting, they were striking for a better wage. Now, there were many other ways to suppress the protest of the miners. Simple, you take a helicopter, man, you shoot tear gas downstairs, you disperse the mines. But a judge found that Ramaphosa was responsible. And it was found out that Ramaphosa, in fact, with his brother-in-law Motsepe, owns the Glencoe mine in South Africa. So this shaitan was bought by the Yahudi, by this 9 out of 10, like Zilla, support genocide. I call them the Jews, but Allah says, closest in enmity to the believers, you'll find the Jews and the pagans. Closest in love to the believers, you'll find those who call themselves Christians. But amongst the followers of Musa alayhi salam, you find those who guide and seek righteousness in the light of truth. In what I'm saying, I'm not saying all Jews are bad, no. But the Zionists are our enemy and evil and bad. The Ramaphosa has been infected with the infection of the Zionists. For a leader to instruct more than 37 people to be shot dead in cold blood, that is quite sick, Molina. This was even at Marikana. We learned a lot about Ramaphosa. Now, what is happening in my mind? They gave him lots of wealth. When he got this wealth, he forgot where he comes from. And this is the teachings of our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had he been Muslim, or not even Muslim, an intelligent person knows this. He surrendered his will, not to Allah, but to wealth and to the Zionists. When he did that, he forgot where he came from. Mantashe, I can talk for hours about him. Mantashe was in the mines. Yesterday, he was a beginning. Today is the boss. So simple. Really. Mantashe, I mean, very well. His number is my phone. We talk to each other. But I want Mantashe to listen very carefully to me. Comrade Mantashe, I'm saying to you, your utterances of supporting the remarks made by Zilla that white people can run this better than me do, that is an expression of the previously beginning, now becoming a boss. You know, Johnny Craig sang a song, the puppet becomes the dancing master. This is Mantashe. I'm saying, how my people run the municipality, so what? And so what? Yeah, I know they steal, I know they grow. More of that. And then Mantashe said, no, they know how to only dance and shout slogans. Yes, because this is what they were taught. It's got nothing to do with race, one of them. If you equip people with knowledge, then they will run the place properly. But how do you have a guy, let's call him David Skosana. David Skosana is living in poverty. His parents are living in poverty. He's in the municipality. He's dealing with millions going in and out. the temptation for him to take something in for himself and family is overwhelming. Whereas his white counterpart say that he always had a car, he always had smart clothes, he will have less. Meaning, don't want to steal. It's simple. I said this before, one of them. I'll tell you what we can do. I marched last year in Yamas. I marched many, many, hundreds of people. I appealed to government to let me control the finances of Yamas. And if they want accountability, I'll have it on a computer screen, on the spot. I'm saying again, let's not wait for 5 years before we set up commissions of inquiry, etc. Let's have accountability immediately. But Mantashe, Ramaphosa, and Zilla know exactly what's going to happen, but they allow it to happen with the aim of reducing African time rule. You see, Haram is one evil.
No, definitely, Attorney Saab. Say, Jazakallah khairan. Attorney Saab, our next question. Did the United Nations make a finding about whether the ZGE, the Zionist Gangster Enclave, had committed a genocide against the Palestinian people?
Well, earlier this week, Judge Nabi Pillay was interviewed. She is a judge for the UN. She said unequivocally that all the complicated elements required for the fulfillment of the crime is a national crime of genocide has been performed. A genocide is being treated. But I'll tell you this, something even better. Listen, well, earlier this week, a final finding was made that Zionist enclave, gangster enclave, they labeled it Israel, are guilty of the crime of genocide. That's an international crime. Now, Article 1 of the Genocide Convention provides that every signatory to the Genocide Convention must take measures to prevent and punish a genocide. Now, I give you something very interesting on that. Yesterday, Spain, sent naval ships, two naval ships, to accompany the flotilla that's in international waters taking supplies to Palestine. Allahu Akbar. Now, tell you what, Mullah. I'll tell you what happened. You see the flotilla. The previous flotilla, a young good girl, she's fighting for climate change, etc. She's heading this whole thing. The last time the flotilla went to Palestine, they were attacked on international waters by the Zionist power. Now, the flotilla has got medical supplies, food, blood, and support. But now, the flotilla are going to approach Palestine. And I would love to see how the Zionists are going to attack. Because you must understand, this is very interesting. We have two NATO countries that have military ships accompanying the flotilla. Right? If Zionists attack, they'd be attacking NATO. NATO is a combination of the following countries: the whole of Europe, the UK, Germany, Italy, Spain, Denmark, and the United States. An attack on one is an attack on all. Right. Now, Trump, the clown, announces he would not allow the Zionists to annex West Bank. Why? Because he sees big things happening one another. Spain and Italy are NATO. You attack any one of them, you attack NATO. Spain and or Italy, if these Zionists, they only come near the flotilla, they blow them into the sky. And the Zionists, they react. If they do react, an injury to one NATO member is an injury to all. There'll be world war, 100%. And then you see what's happening earlier this week, Mona. Russian drones are all over Europe, and you do nothing about it. They talk, you're threatening. But this is, you see, Mona, and then the state are attacking Venezuelan ships. Venezuela is playing showing muscle with a display of Russian equipment. More than that, you see, more than that, Allah has given mankind utter brains. If human beings conduct themselves worse than animals, conduct themselves in disregard to law or international law, conduct themselves in a way designed by inflicting torture upon our people, our Palestinian people, then, more than that, inevitably, we're going to have mayhem and chaos. which we are seeing now. The chaos is happening. The irony is, earlier this year, the clown done with a big arrogant joke. He boasted that the West Bank, Gaza, Palestine should be all annexed, and they should put up beautiful resorts on the coast, there on the beach, and that could become a very good investment for tourism. Today, yesterday, he turned around about. He says, no. He doesn't support that. He will ensure that the Zionists do not commit West Bank and Gaza. It's all in the news. The question is why Spain and Italy told him unequivocally, sir, you are playing with fire. What is happening now, Mona? If Trump goes or continues his support against the war of Spain and Italy, he is threatening the dissolution of NATO. When NATO dissolves, guess who takes over? Inevitably, Vladimir Putin. I like him because he's anti-West, you know. But he's not great, no great friend of mine, you know. To all the Palestinian, for all the infliction of genocide in Palestine, he hasn't said much, Marla. He hasn't said much that he would make me as Muslim feel reassured. Same with China, you know. And Pakistan, the worst models, Marla. Pakistan, nuclear power, you know. But, what I'm saying, Marla, is we are now at a very interesting phase. We are in a very interesting phase with NATO on the brink of being crumbled. Spain and Italy, Allah, may Allah reward them. They are the only countries in the world, Mona, who have taken military steps to stop and prevent the genocide. The two ships accompanying the flotilla, we'll see what happens. It's fantastic. The first time you see how the Zionists come and attack the flotilla. If they dare do it, they're going to be blown into the sky. That's simple. The naval ships of Spain and Italy are going to blow them into the sky. And Trump will send this warning to Netanyahu, the Shaitan, that the message Trump is sending by saying he will not allow the annexation of any part of Palestine. That is an expression of weakness and fear, deep fear. They are old fears. The Zionists, Allah taking that great fear. But remember that they're not united. Never. You'll see how things unfold in the coming week, Mona. And the Houthis are getting hiding. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of damage caused in the course of this week to the Houthis. Plenty of designers, yes.
You know, definitely, Attorney Saab, may Allah Ta'ala guide each and every one of us and liberate the Palestinians. And, you know, there's a lot of light that is coming forward with regards to all the lies that has been spilled over the media, and now Allah Ta'ala has brought, and Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that they use the people, non-Muslims, to spread the deen and protect the deen of Islam as well. And just by the Houthis, you know, look how much did they annihilate every vessel that was bringing any goods, to such a point that if they had any Israeli products passing through the canal, they were shot down.
Small group of Yemeni people, very small Houthis, but they have one that they call the havoc. They study fear even in Americans. They stuck a bomb, the missile, deep inside Israel in this week. This is the help of Allah, but the flotilla is another very interesting development.
Gino, definitely. Attorney Saab, our next comment. Can you explain the thoughts on Helen Ziller's answer to the journalist that she doesn't know that anything happened with regards to the Palestinian people? And could you also explain to our listeners which was the first country to bring a case in the ICJ, that is the International Criminal Court of Justice, to adjudicate upon the genocide inflicted by the Zionists upon the Palestinian people?
Mullah, regarding Helen Ziller, I said earlier on, I was very, very worked up and I was incited by her denial of a genocide taking place in Palestine. Either she's totally stupid, and she's not deserving to be a leader or a mayor. It's obviously, it's either she doesn't read newspaper, she She's not following world news, or she's blatantly stupid. For her to deny that a genocide is taking place in Palestine, despite the findings of the United Nations, either she's stupid. If she's stupid, she cannot be mayor, not of any way in the anything in the. If she's not stupid, then she is a liar. A liar, then she'll be assaulted by me and many of our other people. She's a job of a player. This is not Cape Town. The split of the world with little Zionist supporters, no. She must understand that. Here, we will not tolerate much of her lies, no. A stupidity, either, neither stupidity. So the issue of Zilla, we put it rest a while aside. The other question you asked, what was it?
With regards to the International Criminal Court of Justice to adjudicate, which was the first country?
Mona, we are a small country, Mona. We just outside the thrones of apartheid and great oppression, Mona. Despite that, our country took that they were the first, South Africa was the first country in the world to give effect to Article 1 of the genocide, the Genocide Convention, that says every signatory must take measures to punish and or prevent a genocide. South Africa took the first step a long, long time ago on that. Our country, despite facing terrorists by Mr. Trump, despite all odds, we took the matter to the International Court of Justice, our country. And alhamdulillah, on that, the final verdict was delivered in this week by Judge Nabi Play, who confirmed that indeed there is genocide. So our people, on our South African people, We must defer to our people, we must ensure we pay our taxes before paying taxes. And go further, Satka, you keep Satka, you know? I mean, good Lord, Mona, come on, man. We have a country we emerged 3 years ago from deep oppression apartheid. The country, the democracy was given to the country, to a country that was totally bankrupt. The YPs have a fortune in mouth, Mona. And they gave the constitution. The constitution prevents the new government democracy to take away stolen land, stolen wealth. But our country, our people respect the constitution. Despite all odds, Wanda, despite us even meeting our budget, we spent millions of rands to have this matter seized by the International Court of Justice. As Muslims, we Wanda, I will appeal to every Muslim family, adopt in the sense. Pay for the education of at least one African child. Start from sub A right until middle. You pay to do this as a gesture of thanks, and you do it for the pleasure of Allah. It's gone so far for us and for Palestine. People say thank you. How many of us say thank you? It's the African poor people's money and come on, man. The only people really paying tax money is other workers. Their tax is taken from the salary, B-A-Y, U-I-F, and call whatever you call it. We pay tax like boss. We sit in our office, we have our cars, we sit in the bin, we go to fancy charter accountants, corner of taxes, we pay to government. And we do this. But and we experience joy. But you can never experience joy by being a cheat. And you will never win the mercy of Allah by doing that. I'm appealing to Muslim people especially. Brothers and sisters, take it upon yourself to pay for the education of at least one African child. Then, 20 years from now, we talk to Zala. You will see, Mona, inshallah, now African people will run this country like a machine.
I mean, Attorney Sir, many countries have recognized the Palestinian statehood. Firstly, Attorney Sir, can you please explain to our listeners what does, when you use the term recognizing Palestine as a state, right? That's one. Number two, can you comment on the countries that have recognized Palestine as a state, that is Spain, the Netherlands, Ireland, France, UK, Australia, and Canada?
More than that, look, at first blush, the recognition of Palestine as a state could incite 1% of fury. For example, myself, I don't believe that they exist a place called Israel. That's a gangster enclave. It was never existed until 1948. These bunch of Zionists were all over Europe. Hitler almost exterminated a whole lot of them. But because there was such a problem in Europe, wherever they went, they caused trouble. That's the truth. in Germany. They exploited the German people, made them work. The Europe, the UK, France, same. Then the UK, then, which was very powerful, created through the downfall declaration this place called Israel. It never existed. But let's see. My first submission is there is no such place I recognize as Israel. The place I do know and recognize is Palestine. This Zionist enclave was stolen from the people of Palestine. And it will be taken back. Two-state solution, all that has its place, Mona. We'll talk now. But with time, inshallah, that place, the Zionist enclave, will no longer exist, inshallah. Palestine will be restored to Palestine. Now, coming to your question, recognizing Palestine as a state. Now, when the UK, France, Germany, I think Germany, definitely UK, France, Portugal, a lot of them, Portugal, Spain, Italy, recognize Palestine as a state. When they do so, they definitely see a clear circumference of the land of Palestine. All right. Now, this is what these Zionists don't want. Now, when you recognize, like, what is very interesting, Mona, will be the flotilla. The flotilla are on international waters. Now, they'll be sailing and they plan to land at the coastline of Palestine. Now, that coastline will be recognized by Spain, Italy, Netherlands as the land of Palestine, which the Zionist Yahud does not want. Symbolically, it's a very, very good thing. But very interestingly, the naval ships of Spain and Italy, for as long as the flotilla will be sailing on international waters and landing on land that is seen to be recognized by Spain and Italy to be the land of Palestine, that's when the soldiers manning the naval ships of Italy and Spain are going to react with warfare, with bombs, with bullets, if the Zionist soldiers dare interfere with the flotilla. That's the significance of recognizing the state of Palestine. The significance is a clear border dividing the Zionist enclave, which they call Israel, from Palestine. So there's no doubt who is where and who's interfering with who.
JazakAllah khairan for that, Attorney Saab. 20 minutes to 9 Central African time. Attorney Saab, Trump made an announcement that he would not permit the annexation by the ZGE of the Gaza Strip. Your comments on it, Attorney Saab?
Mona, the listeners who are following the events in Palestine, which I hope and pray all our Muslims are doing. Few months ago, Trump was very arrogant in saying that the Gaza Strip, especially the coast, that portion of the beach must be annexed. And he said that area will make good real estate, meaning that it will be developed as a resort. As a resort, many tourists could come there. The owners of the resorts could make a fortune, basically steal the land. And then Netanyahu, he boasted to the world he's going to do it. And retarded, mad, clown, Trump, he got no shame, no shame. He also was very arrogant, he's going to do it. The question is, how come did he make an about turn? You see, more than us, America is not as powerful as Trump makes it out to be. Because Spain and Italy, who have now unequivocally taken physical measures to recognize and accompany the flotilla as the state of Palestine, if the land is going to be annexed, that is portion of the land recognized by Italy, Spain, Ireland to be portion of the state of Palestine, then that is going to cause division in NATO itself. NATO is a North Atlantic Treaty organization. That's an organization, a military organization. The primary purpose of NATO is to say if anyone attacks any one member, it will attack on all members. So that have been. For example, if a Russian drone or Russian missile strikes, say, France, then all the whole NATO bloc will be obliged in terms of their agreement to resist. Now, if you have Italy and Spain accompanying the flotilla and physically supporting Palestine. America cannot allow for the annexation of any portion of Palestine, because that will divide NATO in total completely. That is why Trump is a weakling, arrogant weakling. He was forced to come out and publicly say, but I will not allow the annexation of Palestine. Not that you will allow, not at all, sir. Not that you will allow. You are forced to. You are now forced to. You forced because you risk the whole destruction of NATO. And if NATO is destroyed, sir, you will invariably be taken over. By who? By Russia and China. China is very, very bad. The Russian number games. They really don't care. If those are all over here, they couldn't care. Trump is making noises, and so is all of you. Thank you.
Attorney, sir, just off the topic here, with regards to the latest findings from the South African Hajj Umrah Council, and you know there's an AGM meeting that's happening very soon. From an attorney's perspective, any advice to our listeners, to those that are attending that AGM meeting?
The attendees are advised, must prepare carefully, go see your lawyers. Now, the persons who are most affected are those who have invested and who have money owed to them by Sauk. Attendance at the meeting is crucial and must be recorded. Every word must be recorded, because the answers given at the meeting will be used and can be used against individuals who took money, who stole money of the people in the name of Sauk. Questions must be asked. How did it come about that Sauk is no longer recognized? Very incisive questions must be asked about the spending. The spending of the money and what has happened, who benefits from the huge investments. How did it come about that more than 50 million rand is owned by Sauk? I would advise listeners, please go to a chartered accountant. I have a very good friend, let me show you, I have a chartered accountant, very good man, helpful man. And go there to him, let him prepare a list of questions for you, for the AGM, and put these questions to him, to the AGM.
Attorney, sir, which is the only country in the world that has discharged the obligation contained in Article 1 of the Genocide Convention?
More than that, this is a very interesting question. You know, South Africa, obviously, we were the first. We were the first to take it to the court, because Article 1 says to prevent and punish. We took it in an attempt, in our wish and attempt to prevent this genocide. But Yemen, a small country, more than a small country that has been bombed to pieces. These Yemenese people, they took on militarily this United States of America and the genocide enclave called Israel on their own, and they, Yemen, continue supporting the Houthis, who continue with military and missile strikes against the Zionists. As recently as earlier this week, the missile from Houthis struck deep inside the territory of the Zionists. It is, to answer your question, a small, poverty-stricken country on earth. Yemen is the only country that took on militarily the powers of Zionist Israel and America, because the Houthis are preventing commercial ships going in and out of Israel. That has the effect of strangulating the Zionist economy. But they continue doing it. And the insurance for these ships has increased substantially. It has become so bad, and the ship owners are obviously afraid of their ship being blown into the sky, which means that a trip to anywhere in the Middle East or Zionist Israel has to involve traveling down past the Cape, which is an extremely long journey, a very expensive journey. But this is affecting the economies of America and the Zionists, including the supporters of the Zionists, which are the European countries. Germany, ironically, Germany were found guilty at the Nuremberg trials of genocide, of having inflicted a genocide upon the Zionists. This was 1948, and ironically and strangely, the same German people today support the genocide inflicted on the Palestinians by the Zionists. Do you see that? The one country so far which has not announced recognizing a Palestinian state is Israel. Germany. Germany are shaitan. They are on the side of genocide, whether it is against the Zionists or against the Palestinians. But they are evil people. Don't trust them. Really, no.
But then is something very interesting. Now that the schools are closing for the third term, and it brings back memories that when we were in school, the pass mark was generally 40% to pass any, whether you pass your final year in your schooling career. And then over the years, then it brought down to 33%, and then to 30% pass mark. Now, with that being said, Attorney Saab, can you please explain the state of the education in South Africa, and more specifically, with the reference to the quality of education that is being dispensed to the lower class people and also the underprivileged, and that is the African people?
One of the very interesting questions you asked, sir. You know, earlier in my interview, I appealed to all listeners, adopt in the sense, I'm not talking adoption, in Western adoption, haram. When I say adopt, I mean assume the responsibility to pay for the education for one African child from Sub-A right until completion of university. Now, moreover, look, again, I say we did not meet our budget in 2025. We increased the VAT, the DA positive in the KPI code. Our education being dispensed to particularly the majority of the people, African people, remains to be substandard. They have to endure an inferior education, which they did before the new South Africa. Before the new South Africa, less than one third of the education budget was devoted to African people. Let me explain what that means. Assuming there's 1 billion for the whole country, for education for all people, less than 200,000 out of the 1 million was devoted to more than 80% of the people who are African people, which means they got cut education. That gave rise to civil rights, where children were shot dead from a moving box with machine guns in 1976. But the irony and the pain I experienced in my heart, my late mother, I told you about the school, is that today, 30 years later, you pass a child in a government school with 30%. What are you producing? You again producing, educating people to equip them to serve in a servile state, which means you allow for an African child to finish school and he comes out. He can only find a job as a laborer, as a sweeper, as a painter. You keep him servile and inferior, and you continue looking at the white man as a boss. He looks at the white men. White people are engineers, the actuary of scientists, the doctors and lawyers, and you are a black man, you're inferior. Now, this is Mugabe definitely. Mugabe equipped his people in education big time. We're continuing in the sad state in South Africa. Now, I'm very pleased you raised this on Market Sarama, and I appeal to other radio stations and newspapers to also take this topic and discuss it and debate it. This is an intriguing topic, Mona. You are quite right. A 30% pass. How do you allow a student to get a 30% pass? He goes up to grade 12. And guess what happens when he goes to university? If he gets to university, Mona, they can't speak the language. They can't write. And then you get to an African lawyer. You say, it's stupid. But it stems from this. Now, Ramaphosa and our government must sit back and reflect. You can't allow this to continue. And our people, our Muslim people, and the Indian people, again, I'm saying we must make extra effort to teach at African schools, teach at the government schools, make sacrifices when you come back. But we can't allow for a child to get 30% and for him to go to the next county. you will feel inferior or she will feel inferior, inevitably.
Attorney Saab, something very interesting that just popped into mind. Now that you mentioned with regards to sending a black child to school and just getting them through to the school with a 30% so they can just show at the final year that, you know what, that province or that particular school had, because now when the papers come out, for example, for matric, right, we are just passing them so that they can show the numbers in the schools that, you know what, our province, for example, let's just say Northern Cape, right, we got a 67% or 68% pass rate. But the quality of the education that is coming out of those schools, as an example, you're just passing them because to get those numbers in. Now, with that being said, is it justifiable to say that a person who drives with a better skill, a person who has been more equipped with more knowledge, is entitled to take your car? Comparing the two between the whites and the blacks.
Allah Almighty. Mama, this is very interesting. You know, for Ramaphosa and Mantashi to echo the utterances by Zella to say African-led municipalities are always corrupt and are inequipped and don't know properly. You, Mama, have touched at the very source. The very source is where you allow for the student to get 30% and pass. He finishes matric out and he goes into politics and he's very charming. And he gets support, and he gets opposed as a councillor. And he runs the council, for example, Delmas Council. What do you think is going to happen? Because he is so poorly equipped in skill, he will not be able to run the administration properly. It will be failure. So you're setting up the African child for failure from the very start. From the very beginning, I can't understand. Ramaphosa is a lawyer, you know. I can't. But you set up the child, the African child, from the very beginning for failure. And then when in adult, when he doesn't run the municipality properly, you say he's stupid, he can't run properly, and invariably because why? He's a black person. Allah Akbar. I want to remind the listeners, all of you who even remotely have the thought that a black person is inferior. Don't remember, Azadillah, I want you to sit back and teach your kids to that. So, do you know that, Isa? Very authentic hadith. Azadillah made Azan every Fajr Salah. On one day, the Sahaba refused, didn't allow him to make the Azan because he was a black man. Qasam, everything is whatever. Allah refused for the sun to rise until he made the Azan. Don't ever do that. Being a racist is the worst scoundrel thing on earth. That is taught that from the shaitan. Don't ever do that. Teach your kids to respect each other. Allah has created people of different complexion to recognize each other rather than to separate them or to have one to be inferior to the other. Don't do that. And also remember, the people who gave sanctuary to our beloved Rasulullah were the Ethiopian black people when Rasulullah was being tortured in Mecca for teaching art. They inflicted torture upon Rasulullah, stoned him, type, and then Ibrahim told him to make hijrah. And the people who opened the doors for Rasulullah were black people in Ethiopia at the senior at the time.
Attorney Saab, you know, you mentioned with regards to this racism thing, right? There was a message that has been going around, and Mufti Saab had mentioned it on Thursday during his program, on the FIC program, and someone took a certain portion of it, right? And the message goes as follows. This poster paraphrases a powerful voice note by Mufti A.K. Hussein. He tackles the scourge of racism within our own communities. He warns of an incident in KwaZulu-Natal where a father and son of Indian heritage did not want their African brethren to attend the masjid they control. Mufti Saab cautions that if this racism continues, he will name and shame them. He highlights that racist tendencies are found among the Surtis, Colverts, Memons, and others, and even he himself has felt it as a Memon with the wider community. Yet he reminds us that this is not new. A Sahabi once insulted Bilal radiallahu anhu over his heritage. Bilal radiallahu, who was entrusted with the finances of the Ummah, was defended by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who warned about regressing to the ignorance of Jahiliyyah.
Mawlana, I agree with what you said. I'm women, I go to functions, and I also observe this. You know, for me, alhamdulillah, my mother taught as a married as a teacher, you know. She went to school, played at Hinki. And as a child, I was raised not to indulge in any form of racist conduct or utterance. But Mufti is entirely right. So we have to talk about this to our kids in madrasas, in schools, to guard against racism. But you see where the racism is coming in, Mona, I tell you. You see, Mona, kids by nature are not racist. And my grandkids, my Rania, she's too nice to her. I love her too much. She's African kids, she's friends, they love each other. So I think and I observe on our way that the racism comes in. The racism comes in by utterances, observer and Ramaphosa. When you say African black people, kind of one means better than you then say African black stupid a crook. You understand? So this racism has in current South Africa genesis in instilling a sense of inferiority in the heart of the black man. If you allow an African student to pass with 30% and he finishes grade 12 and he goes into a job, he can't do anything skillful. The inevitable influence is that because he's black, he's stupid. It's really easy to understand, but I respectfully ask journalists, talk to Ramaphosa, let's have an interview, come. Let's talk to Ramaphosa and Mantashe, or do it nightly. Say, look, you and Mantashe support utterances made by Zionist Zala. You say DA control councils are run more efficiently than ANC control councils. Effectively, what you're saying is white dominated councils perform better than blacks. But let's see why. With 30 years, prior to 1994, we know exactly what happened. Let's see, in the 50s, has education improved? No. Has government schools improved? No. Do African people remain recipients of education that will equip them for the survival state when they're adults? Yes. Will you go to an African lawyer? No. Will you go to an African doctor? No. Why? Because you know they are deficiently PE products, like black economic empowerment, which permeates throughout our society, our economy. And when you, as president, agree with Zilla, what are you doing? You're instilling deep inferiority. And this is inciting a sense or a thought that black people are inferior. And this, in turn, facilitates racism. Don't do that. You see, we touch one another. It starts by utterances made by the leaders, man.
Now, Jazakallah Khairan, Attorney Sahab, we've run out of time. We say Jazakallah Khairan to you and the team. Once again, Attorney Sahab, with regards to the AGM meeting, and I know we want to echo your sentiments with regards to people who have applied. And I know that Attorney Sahab did mention previously with regards to the assistance of the people who haven't been and want to perform their obligatory pillar or obligatory act of Hajj.
Please, before the AGM get the date, go to Shabir Ravid, ask insightful questions, get answers. If your money is not refunded to you, I am here. I offer you my services free of charge, inshallah. I will sue to ensure you get your money to enable you to discharge your wish to perform Hajj, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan, Attorney Sahab. And we will keep in contact soon. Jazakallah khairan for your time. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
And that was our very own attorney, Zahir Omar. And there you heard it, that if you have any issues, he is or will give his service free of charge. From the team of the Legal Eagle with myself, Brother Suleiman Issuf, every Friday evenings between 8 and 9 p.m. Fi Amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.